This podcast was recorded and provided by the National Association of Regional Councils. For more information about NARC, please visit narc.org.
Hi there, this is Kristen Heary with the National Association of Regional Councils, a member of the U.S. Department of Energy's SunShot Initiative Solar Outreach Partnership. In an effort to learn more about regionally driven solar projects, we're speaking today with Dennis DeZoglio, the Executive Director of the Merrimack Valley Planning Commission. Thanks for joining us, Dennis.
My pleasure.
Can you, before you kind of launch into what you guys are doing in terms of solar, can you give us a quick description of Merrimack Valley and your role as the Regional Planning Commission there?
Sure. We're up here in northeastern Massachusetts. We have 15 communities, approximately 270 square miles, 325,000 people. Our most southern community, Vandover, is about 25 miles north of Boston, and most of the communities in the region abut the state of New Hampshire. So we're up in that corner of Massachusetts. We are kind of a traditional planning agency in that one of our biggest programs is transportation. We manage the transportation staff for the MPO, and we also do land use planning and economic development planning and have an environmental program dealing with a lot of the coastal communities that are in our region, the marsh and preservation of the coastline that we have here. And we're supported by what I think is a great GIS program. And we've been asked more and more lately, actually, to get into more regionalizing services where municipalities are looking to work together. So that's where we've kind of started to go into this whole solar energy as part of that initiative.
Well, that makes sense. So can you talk to us a little bit more about how you first got involved in renewable energies generally, and then we can talk more about the solar project?
That sounds good. As I said, we've been, for the most part, a traditional regional planning agency, but with economic conditions that communities find themselves, they were thinking, how can we work together to save some money, quite frankly, and to still meet the service demands that their citizens have? And so a little bit more than 4 years ago, the bigger communities, the five cities we have in the region and the three large towns with strong town managers, formed what they call the Merrimack Valley Mayors and Managers Coalition. Population-wise, they probably represent 90% of the region, but they are the biggest communities, and they formed this coalition to really look at the common challenges that they face and ways that they may be able to address some of them on a regional basis. One of the first things, I mean, other than just getting together on a monthly basis, which in itself was invaluable for them to, you know, talk about things that we're all working on and just share experiences and talk about ways that they could work together, was that they focused on energy was one of the first things. And I think they focused on it because, for the most part, none of them had the expertise on staff to deal with it. You know, the terminology and the issues associated with energy were not something that they usually have on staff capacity to deal with. And so they started to say, well, what if we were to try to gain capacity to deal with energy issues and do it on a regional basis, and so we could do it collectively so we don't all have to have energy program managers for all of our communities. And so they also asked us to be the administrative agent for this coalition. So we were staffing that, almost like we staffed the MPO, we staffed this coalition. And so they asked if we would be willing to bring on that capacity, and so we said that we would, and we tried to get some funding from a variety of different sources, from the community funding themselves, you know, trying to use some of the funds that they may have available, along with some federal grants, the Energy Efficiency Community Block Grant Program, and then the state program called the Clean Energy Choice Program, where we tried to get some funding to help bring on an expert to sit down with each individual community and develop an energy strategy. And we were able to do that. And during the development of these energy strategies for each one of the communities, there was a common theme that came out of that, and that was they all had these municipal buildings that needed to have energy retrofits. And so they said, well, let's take advantage of the energy service contracting opportunities that there are so that a company could come in and do all the retrofit for these buildings, make them more energy efficient, and then use the savings from the energy improvements to actually pay for the improvements to be done. And so it would be a very low cost, if no cost, to upgrade these buildings. And so in Massachusetts, we have this ESCO procurement law, which allows us to procure the services of almost like a design build kind of contractor to do this work. And so collectively for the region, we did an ESCO procurement, and we had 9 communities that preliminaries signed up. We actually did it for all 15 in case the other 6 wanted to join, plus a couple of regional school districts. And we secured the services of a ESCO company, and the ESCO is now doing audits for the various municipalities and is developing a strategy on how they can actually upgrade their buildings and the payback periods and all the other kinds of analysis that's associated with that kind of work. And so with that as a basis, the community started to say, well, is there anything else that we can do? And that's where we started to think in the area of energy, maybe there's some renewable energy options for us.
That's great. So that's kind of what brought you to solar. It sounds like you naturally kind of started to lean towards solar after looking first at energy.
Yes, it was again almost a similar discussion in that when we asked them what they wanted to do as far as conservation, we then started saying, well, do you have any ideas on what you might want to do on renewable energy? And we started to, again, hear some consistency or some continuity in the sense that they all said, you know, we've got this landfill that is sitting there, it's been closed, in some cases closed, some are about to close, and they said, you know, can we use this for something else? I mean, can we use it for a solar farm or a wind farm? And so we said, well, you know what, if that is an idea that people would like to look at, what if we were to, as a regional agency, get an engineering company to come on board and do analysis of whether or not it makes some sense to use these landfills for that purpose. And so we did do that. We had 9 communities wanted to have their landfills assessed, and we looked at 11 landfills, actually, in those 9 communities. And the engineering firm that we hired, using what we call District Local Technical Assistance Funding, which is a state funding for communities to work together, we looked at each one of these landfills from a point of view of slopes, from wind, from orientation to the sun, from interconnectivity issues relative to connecting to the grid. And we looked at all these kind of criteria that would identify whether or not these landfills would lend themselves to, say, a wind farm or a solar farm. And lo and behold, after we did the analysis, we found 5 communities, actually, that could support a solar farm. And so with that as a goal, so well, if 5 communities can do it, what if we work together to advance it? And so that's when we decided that what are the next steps? Because the communities had the same kind of problem they have when we talked about energy conservation. You know, where do we go from here? Now that we know that we have 5 sites, how do we proceed? And so that's when we said, let's take this thing to the next level. What if we were able to get an expert on renewable energy to come in and talk with the communities about taking the next step, issuing maybe an RFP, to see if we can get a power purchase agreement in front of them for them to evaluate? And so we have done the procurement. We had identified a firm called the Meister Consulting Group, and they are on contract with the MVPC, Merrimack Valley Planning Commission, to provide those kind of services. And we had our initial kickoff meeting just a few weeks back with the mayors and managers, and just as a informational, just to share with them the expertise that we were bringing on board. And during the conversation, one of the mayors said, you know, I really like to get a better handle on the terminology and what's happening in solar. People start saying that, you know, the solar tax credits may be in jeopardy, what's going on. And so Meister said, well, let us come in and do what they call a solar 101 session. And we coordinated that, put an announcement out, and we got the room was full. We had 10 communities that came to learn more about the terminology, about how to get started, and what was happening in the industry as a whole. And that really led to where we are right now, which is some communities at the end of the meeting says, well, let's start looking at my individual sites, not only brownfield sites like we were talking about with the landfills, but then they started saying, well, what about rooftops? What about greenfield sites? What about brownfield sites that are municipally owned that are just vacant properties that can't be developed because of hazardous materials or the like? And so Meister will now be visiting each individual community and assessing what might be the best opportunities, and then looking to see if there is some consensus in the community to move forward. There was even the talk about the consulting helping them build support in the community, because while it sounds like mom and apple pie to think, well, let's do a renewable energy project, you have people that talk about the impacts of solar energy or even wind energy in our community, and building support to answer questions that people may have about the industry would be something that the Meister Group could help them do. And then once they identified where they want to move forward, help them develop an RFP, help them evaluate the proposals that come in, and help them negotiate the actual power purchase agreement that they may be able to gain from the RFP process, and then monitor the actual implementation. So it's like a soup to nuts type of assistance that the concern this firm can give, and we're running that out of the Merrimack Valley Planning Commission's office, and we're going to be billing the communities on an as-needed basis, on an hourly basis, and we're even talking with some of them about the potential for the, with no funding available, that maybe this would be done on a spec basis by the consulting, and they would share in some of the revenue that may come out of the procurement process. So we're in that stage of implementation, but it's clear that there is some need out there, there's some interest out there, and the communities are coming together to try to explore those needs collectively.
That sounds amazing, and just a really creative solution to the problem in terms of thinking regionally and taking advantage of working together with your neighbors. So what are some of the other benefits that you would say that you've seen by working regionally on this project?
Well, clearly it is an economy of scale. You know, if each individual community wanted to look into these potential projects, they would have to do a procurement process. They'd have to spend time evaluating the credentials of the people that may respond. They'd have to do the advertisements, the selection process. This was all very streamlined. It was one process. We did create a selection committee made up of a number of, or a subset of the communities, those who wanted to participate in the selection. So we had a committee of maybe three or four communities that sat at the table and reviewed the proposals with us and helped make the decision so that they felt closer to the process. But that one process, that one streamlined permitting process or streamlined process was, I think, a big advantage for the communities. Another one that is kind of like a hidden one is that most of the communities are there to provide services to their municipalities or their citizens, really. And so they don't really aren't looking, in the most part, for these kind of creative ways of reducing costs. They're looking at more or less, you know, providing police protection and fire protection and educational services. And so they didn't have, as they did before, a point person to help manage the process or keep it on the front burner or advance it. And so I think one of the other benefits is that MVPC can act as a leader in this effort for them. Charge us with the task of going out and leading this effort and addressing questions and keeping it on a front burner versus a back burner kind of situation. And therefore, they can continue to do their own services. We bring them in, obviously, on a monthly basis and give them an update, and they give us guidance and suggest directions they want to go. But at the same time, it takes the pressure off of them to have to all 15 or all 10 or all 8, whoever is participating, to all be doing the exact same thing. They can use one entity as a leader in trying to pull these things together.
That sounds like an amazing role for you guys to take on, and I'm certainly glad to hear about it. And one thing that you touched on quite a bit when you were talking through the program is how you were able to sort of creatively think through some different funding solutions, whether it was from some state-level funds that were available, from the EECGB funds that were available. But what were some of the other sort of challenges that you've faced in terms of getting this project off the ground, or some other lessons that you've learned other than, you know, some of the funding hurdles?
I think one of the biggest things, and I think, is having the community support. I mean, I just talked a little bit about the whole leadership issue about having a point person, but there's an entity or entities that would empower that leadership role, and that is the communities themselves. You know, I think sometimes in our effort to kind of promote regionalism, we may say, well, let's regionalize this service, let's regionalize that service. And I think that that's not the right approach. I think it needs to come from the communities, that initial buy-in for them to come in and say, listen, this is one of the common things that we're all facing. We want someone to help us deal with that common issue. And so they are driving the agenda. And I think that having the communities at the table doing that makes it a lot easier when we do all of this work and try to pull together a solution to it. At the end, they're still driving the bus, so to speak, and they're still going to have to move forward. But they've already bought into the idea because they asked for that service. And so that initial buy-in and their participation and their guidance and desire to go forward collectively is the key thing. And having it being driven by the local communities versus, say, the Planning Commission itself, I think is one of the challenges, but one of the approaches that really makes this thing work.
That makes sense. I mean, you have to have buy-in from those that you're working with to get anything off the ground, but that's a key component, I think, in your success so far. So what's next for the project? Do you guys have additional plans in the works? It sounds like you have some really exciting, you know, developments coming down the pipe.
Well, I mean, the first thing is just a follow-up from that solar 101 session that we've had and actually visit the individual communities and identify the opportunities. And so that will probably be one of the early action items from this whole thing. But we think that this is, to use this expression, fertile ground for more regional discussions. And so we were able to get some EPA funds, actually, along with some state funding to pull together a regional energy plan. We're calling it a regional clean energy plan, where we're identifying what the communities want to do. They've been working with our energy manager to do so, and then try to identify the things that they'd like to do that we might be able to collectively work on together. Just as we identified the ESCOs and we've identified maybe landfills and the solar energy, are there other opportunities associated with the energy area that the communities could work on together, whether it's generating energy from flow or from some kind of hydro source, or is there anything else that they are interested in collectively? Maybe it's the aggregation or the purchasing of energy on an aggregate basis, but have this energy evaluation done, or these energy plans for the communities, and then, as I like to say, pull this big bow around it and try to make it a regional action plan where we take the individual strategies that the communities have identify the other communities that want to do the same thing, and then see if there's some regional collaboration to implement. So it's a matter of following through on the solar energy implementation on these specific ideas and plans, but then looking for other opportunities in the effort of developing this regional clean energy plan that we're in the midst of doing.
That sounds incredible. I'm really impressed with all the work that you guys are doing up there. Keep it up.
We'll try. It makes the long days, as we were saying before.
Well, that's great. Is there anything else you'd like to share with others interested in doing similar projects?
I think that if there's anything to share, I think that the idea of bringing some creative solutions, I think we call them regional solutions to some of these problems, I think, is I think what regional planning agencies are going to be asked to do, whether you're a council of governments or your regional planning agency, traditional regional planning agencies, we're going to be asked to think about things a little bit differently. And so I would say, are there regional solutions to the common problems that your member communities have? And if there are, there's a role for the regional planning agency.
Well, that's great advice, and I encourage anyone listening to check out the Merrimack Valley Planning Commission website at mvpc.org if you want to learn a little bit more about their project. And thanks for joining us today.
Okay, thank you very much for having me, Kristen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about NARC, please visit narc.org.